no sense.
You're listening to the Hunter Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good morning, man.
Man, good morning to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good. It's it's a nice day. Drank my metric weight in coffee today, and my stomach's kind of feeling a little bit. But other than that, everything's good.
No, that's what you need, man. You gotta do some fueling up on the coffee. It's I always often say that, like, you know, whiskey is kind of podcaster fuel, but let's be real, coffee, it just depends on the kind of day. It's either a coffee kind of fuel,
it's a coffee kind of day.
Yeah,
I have noticed myself over time getting more sensitive to caffeine and to nicotine too, which is interesting.
As a
tobacconist, you know, my tastes haven't really changed, but my tolerances have.
Yeah.
It's been fascinating. Just, I'm getting old, man.
I was about to say, that's just part of life, is like, we have to kind of adjust. I mean, like, I can't eat most of the food. Like, this is like the getting old intro to the podcast, but like, I can't eat as much as I used to.
It's so funny.
Got to make a lot of those decisions. And even like recently, we started like cutting back on, you know, kind of like the cocktail intake and everything at the casa and everything, just to, you know, just try to accommodate the old body, make sure they last a little bit longer.
Doesn't run like the 25-year-old it used to be.
Yeah. It didn't run like the 25-year-old it should have been.
It should have been. Right. Hey, that's fair.
Well, man, of course, we are here at Country Squire Radio, and we are here because of the amazing support of our patrons over at patreon.com/Country Squire Radio, the International Pipe Club, man. We are glad to welcome in a new member this week. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, y'all gotta give me some names to work with here, okay? We got Riding with Dave. Now, here's the thing. I'm assuming that Riding with Dave is the full name of Riding with Dave. This is Mr. Dave, first name Riding, middle name With. This is my assumption based on what we've got
here. I think it's probably, I mean, generally when people write in, they're just copying what's on their birth certificate.
That's exactly right. So this is Riding W. Dave, W with a, you know, a period.
Child of the Covenant.
Yes.
Right. This was his Christian name.
Yes.
Right.
From Mr. and Mrs. Dave, or his parents, his lovely wife, Mrs. Dave. And all the little Daves back home. So
Riding with Dave.
That's right. Riding with Dave.
Thank you for joining at the pilgrim level.
Wonder if Riding was a family name. You know how sometimes you name somebody after, like, maybe, you know, Little Red Riding Hood.
Can,
like,
we talk
Riding.
About, can
was
we? Can, her, can you move on?
Okay. No, I want. I think I can milk this for a while. No, Riding. Dave, rather, we thank you so much for supporting the show at the pilgrim level. And hey, if you'd like to do so as well, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. It is a Pipe Smoking 101 episode today, and this is where we do the job of educating the next generation. Now, I feel that, you know, this, we're doing something a little bit different this week because we're kind of continuing on something that we did last time that we had a Pipe Smoking 101.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, well, so we had this kind of idea of, how do you lay the groundwork for a new pipe smoker? It is often discussed when somebody walks into the pipe store for the first time. They go in as a complete novice, not knowing what they're stepping into, not having a budget or even a mindset for how much different things could cost.
Yeah.
It can become an overwhelming experience, the likes of which sometimes turn away pipe smokers ne'er to enter a store again. This is a tragedy that here at Country Squire Radio, we want to avoid at all costs, which is why last time with our Pipe Smoking 101 episode, we decided it was best to lay out what you need going in. Prepare yourself a budget so that you don't get blindsided and you walk out knowing you've got everything you need for a simple, cool, crisp $100 bill.
That's right.
Now,
I think we did a good job at that.
I think you did a phenomenal job with that. Yeah. I think it was quite good. We got it all budgeted out. The math checked out. Don't look into the taxes. It mostly checked out. And I think that was fantastic. And as we discussed on that episode, part of what we were trying to do with that is that we were trying to figure out, like, what is the appropriate price point to give a new pipe smoker so that they are set up right, they have the proper expectations, and they can go in with that budget. And we kicked around a lot of numbers and that sort of thing.
We're giving them the best opportunity to succeed.
Exactly.
The best opportunity to enjoy, catch the bug, and connect with pipe smoking.
Exactly. Yeah. And we also talked about, in trying to figure out what that price point is, the conflict of interest that might exist with a tobacconist.
The people on my side of the counter.
The people on your side of the counter and trying to figure out. So it's like getting started with $5, for example, sounded too low. Obviously, it's also impossible.
Yeah,
so,
like, you know, that's right.
So that wasn't a thing. Getting started with $1 million seemed a little pricey. And so, you know, we went back and forth and we kind of landed that $100 was that safe bet with the notion that we might kind of veer a little bit less or a little bit more. I was thinking maybe next time, maybe it's $200. John David, today we're doing a pipe smoking 101 because with a different price point because I got outvoted and we're doing a getting started, and I quote, with $1,000.
Okay, no. Yes, yes, but no. So, you know, we got to thinking about this and it's like, no one's going to get started in pipe smoking for a grand.
And
you know?
Then we came to Miami.
And then we came to Miami and there's people walking around with teacup dogs in their purse getting into their yellow Lamborghini. And it's like, you know, so maybe people do. I don't know.
But I don't understand the money here. We were talking about this. We've got a beautiful balcony.
I don't know if all these people just want a lawsuit or something, but like it just people walk around sneezing out $100 bills.
They seem to constantly have lawsuits because there's some sort of blending.
It's just driving here is crazy.
Oh my goodness. It's like this combination between like these extremely expensive brand new cars and the most reckless driving you've ever seen. And who's paying for this?
I don't know, man. Someone. Yeah.
So $1,000. And sorry, I gave you a hard time and you said it was cool for me to give you a hard time.
That's
so,
fair. That's fair.
But really, this is a little bit of a tweak to that concept.
So we're pivoting. Yeah. So we are the price point is $1,000 for what we're doing here. But what we're talking about today is building your $1,000 pipe collection. Okay. So if you have $1,000 to spend on pipes and you want a collection that's going to be both utilitarian, but provide you also with variety that, you know, piques your interest and engages your senses and, you know, make sure you have something for, you know, most different situations in life. That's our goal with this $1,000. So we want to, you know, try to pursue pipes in all ranges that, play to your need for utility. For the pipe. So what, you know, right, correct pipes for correct situations, okay. All that kind of thing. And so we need some of those casual pieces that are, you know, versatile and approachable and, you know, useful, functional. But we also, I mean, if we've got $1,000 and we're building a pipe collection, we want to scratch that itch a little bit for some premium pieces. That's going to say, okay, I've got $1,000. You know, that's not a small amount of money. We're building a small pipe collection from this $1,000. What's the best way to spend it so that I get some utilitarian pieces, some that I can use all the time, and then also a couple that, you know, are going to make me proud to look at this collection and to show off.
So this is interesting because like you mentioned the utilitarian aspect of it. And when I think of collection, I think of like literally, I don't necessarily always think of function. I think of form over function.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think when I'm talking about collection here,
you mean literally every single pipe you own.
Yeah, if you're gonna have you know $1,000 worth of pipes, this is a template for you,
right.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. Now I've set some parameters here. A good retailer who really wants to make a lot of money will tell you, you need 7 pipes. You need one for every day of the week so that you can rotate and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm throwing that out the window. Like, you know, we do need a variety of pipes for a variety of situations,
right.
But the goal for us with our $1,000 is going to be 5 pipes. We want a variety of shapes and finishes. And a variety of materials. We're going to try to use this $1,000 to stretch to get us pipes in 3 different materials.
Okay.
And all right. So, 3 different mediums.
I love the way you've thought about all this. Like, good job. I like this.
I'm trying to make this. We've got $1,000. This is your pipe collection. These are the pipes you're going to have. What do we do with it?
Can I ask you a question? And this is maybe tipping the bean can a little bit here.
Yeah, sure.
Was your mindset to go because we're trying to kind of lay this out for the average listener to kind of think about what you know they can find as opposed to something that's like deeply artisanal or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. I wanted to try to find pieces or recommend pieces that you know, if you have $1,000, you're going to be able to go out and get, okay. you know. So we didn't, I don't know, recommend a Sixten Iverson, you know, not that you could even buy one of those for $1,000. But, you know, it's just we didn't do that.
So you're looking for quality, diversity, and acquisitionability.
Availability.
How about that? That's a word, yeah. Yes.
So five pipes, a variety of shapes and finishes, and three different materials. So the first pipe we'll go with, the versatile pipe. Each one of these pipes is going to have a little bit of a name.
Okay.
The versatile pipe. On this one, I'm recommending the Stanwell Trio in the smooth finish. This pipe retails for about $120. The Stanwell Trio, this is a great all day, every day pipe. High quality briar, kind of a premium warm orange finish with just a really handsome nickel band that's right there around the end of the shank. And so it's a handsome pipe. It's something that you can dress up a little bit, you can dress down a little bit, but it's something you can use at all in all situations if you're just bumming around the house or if you need it for, you know, kind of while you're at work or whatever. It's just a great versatile pipe. And so it's one of those that I thought would be good. It's about $120. This is the pipe that is a, you know, all day, every day pipe. It's a, you know, typically most of these Stanwell Trios are medium sized bowls and something that just, you know, is very, very classic. And of course, they're all well made. And so I'll go with that one for our versatile selection.
Okay.
About $120.
I like it. It's a very standard look. I mean, it looks very similar. Honestly, I mean, it's not the same pipe that I had as my first. I think I was a Sam Valley, but like it looks very similar to my first pipe.
So good option. Something that, you know, if you want a nice, a nice first pipe, that's a good place to start. Now we need a pipe that, you know, we're thinking is something that's going to be on the smaller side. We're going to call this the smoke break pipe. And so with this pipe, we want something that's a little more pocket sized, something that is not as, you know, heavy, something that you can conceal easy or pull out in a pinch. Also a good pipe for maybe a short commute while you're in your car or, you know, just a quick smoke, you know, while you're, you know, having your after lunch latte or something like that. And so with this pipe, I'm recommending the Peterson Specialty Pipes. The Specialty Pipes from Peterson, these are tiny Peterson pipes that have been around for a long time. They don't have, for whatever reason, you just don't see a ton of them out in the wild. They're awesome, very high quality little pipes. These pipes probably weigh a max of 30 grams. I mean, they're just very, very small. And they have delicate stems and small bowls, but they come in a variety of finishes. The Tankard, the Belgique, the Barrel, and the Calabash. These pipes are just, they come in those four different shapes. And they're the Specialty Pipes from Peterson. All very small, very, very well made, and great little pocket pipes for a short, quick smoke.
The Belgique.
Wow. So the Belge is a shape within the pipe world, and the Belgique, we've got the smaller kind of variety of it. But great little pipes come in a rusticated variety, smooth, and then also a P-lip and a fishtail stem. So
that, I mean, it's a.
I don't, you know, it's interesting. As I've just been in retail, you know, I'm surprised we don't see more of these Peterson Specialty pipes. It's just one of those pipes that they're just great little pipes. And I mean, not a tiny pipe like that is not for everybody, but it just seems like we should see more of those around. And I don't know, they're really cool little pipes. I'm a sucker for that Belgique shape. I think it's just really nice. So. So those would be around $100. So we've spent $220 so far. Now we've got one. We're going to need something that's going to be our workhorse, our knockaround pipe. I'm calling this our yard pipe. This is going to be the pipe that you're going to cut the grass with. Go work in the garden. You know, if you're working on your doing some mechanic stuff in the garage or something, you're going to have this pipe. And of course, we're going to pivot to a new medium here. And of course, that medium for our yard pipe is going to be a corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. Doing the Washington Fifth Avenue pipe here. The Washington Fifth Avenue corncob pipe, this is essentially what is a billiard style pipe. It's a medium to large size bowl. It's got just a very kind of slender, very normal, you know, look to it when you think of a corncob pipe. It's very handsome. Comes in a bent and a straight variety.
Very frosted snow.
Yeah, it's just that classic corncob pipe. But because of the size, you know, it's incredibly versatile. And because it's made of cob, it's just, you know, it's something you don't have to worry about. And so well-made pipe, got that hardwood insert in the bottom, and of course the option of a filter if you would like it. So you've got your smoke break pipe, you've got your everyday, you know, going to work pipe, you've got your yard pipe for knocking around.
What you said the price point was?
This pipe is $10.
This is $10.
And
bucks,
so
right?
We've got three pipes so far. We've spent $230.
You know you have a larger budget, right?
I do. We're saving up for a couple of neat pieces.
Yep. Oh, okay. I see what you're doing.
So those are our first three pipes. Now pivoting to different material for our pipe collection. So we've experienced briar, we've experienced cob. Mm-hmm. You get to kind of play those off each other and understand the differences there. It's time we acquire our tasting pipe. And our tasting pipe, we're going to spend a little more money here. So I'm going to up the ante a little bit. And for this, I'm recommending a Meerschaum. I specifically like and believe in SMS Meerschaum pipes. They are block Meerschaum. They stand behind their work. They're very high quality for the price point that you get into. And they've got pipes anywhere from $90 to, you know, $600. They're all over the map. All these are handmade in Turkey. And so we're going to pick a $200 SMS block Meerschaum pipe. And so with that $200, you can get a pretty generously sized bowl. And so, you know, if we want a tasting pipe, we're the goal with Meerschaum, of course, or you know, one of the benefits of Meerschaum, I guess, is to have a pipe where you can get the real flavor of the tobacco. You know, we want to smoke the tobacco in a way that gives us the flavor of it and not the flavor of the bowl or previous tobaccos that you've smoked before. That's the beauty of Meerschaum, is that we get, in essence, a very pure taste of the tobacco itself, as long as you keep the pipe very clean. And so this is a different aesthetic. It's something that you could take out on the town and impress your friends with the look of the pipe. But also it's going to smoke cool, dry, and give you that, you know, super essence of your of the pipe tobacco. And so the tobacco lover in you is going to love this pipe, and I think there's certainly a need for one in every collection. So
I'm trying to see if they're Oompaw from SMS, if that kind of fits into that.
The nice thing about SMS, they have pipes at a bunch of different levels, and so you can get an Oompaw from them like at $130. You can get one at $170. You can get one at $200. They have kind of a whole bevy of them.
Very nice. Okay. All right, cool. I'm kind of mentally picturing of the pipes that you're recommending, like what I might have on my
Sure. You know? And so with the Meerschaum, you know, we're getting one of their a little nicer piece. I mean, they make, you know, pipes that are huge that are several hundred dollars, but we're selecting a $200 piece from them that'll get us a large size bowl that's either carved or into some kind of face or shape or just a smooth, you know, normal. They make a lot of people just assume Meerschaums have crazy faces and all this stuff, or, you know, eagle claws, which I love and have one of those. But, you know, some of my favorite Meerschaums are just the plain, simple ones that look like a bulldog or look like a billiard or look like a Dublin or whatever. So
even like a billiard with like an Easter egg design, you know, is kind of fun.
With the hatchwork, the lattice finish, I think is what they call it. And so a lot of good options there. So you can have more fun with that from the look of it.
Okay.
So finally, we've spent you know, a little over $400, and our budget is $1,000. And so what are we going to do with the rest of our budget? We're going to buy one really nice pipe.
Okay. All right. Okay.
This is important to me, because as a pipe smoker, most pipe smokers like fine things.
Yes.
We don't, you know, what's one of our new catchphrases? Matter matters.
Matter matters. Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
You know, we believe in what
because
we,
of how that matter is applied and the meaning that's ascribed.
Well, it's like, I think some pipe smokers just want quantity. They just want a bunch of pipes. They don't care, you know, the fit and finish, but, you know, they're not being as thoughtful maybe about, like, you know, they just collect pipe. They just want all the pipes. But if we have $1,000,
I want all the pipes.
But if we have $1,000 and we're trying to build a versatile, complete collection that's going to be useful and scratch our itch for everyday pieces, workhorse pieces, knock around pieces, we're going to want that one piece that stands out, because we're pipe smokers. And we, you know, when you smoke a pipe, you're making a statement. And you want that nice piece that says, okay, well, I've spent a little money on this pipe. This is an heirloom piece, and it's something that is a cut above. The briar's been aged longer. The, you know, mechanics of it are very precise. It's been all the things that come with buying a premium pipe and the experience that you get with that.
Yeah.
And so so we've got about $570 left. And that's a good amount to get us a very generously sized Costello Sea Rock briar.
Okay.
I'm going with Costello and the Sea Rock for a reason here. The Sea Rock finish is very striking. It's craggy and gnarly. Is very Italian, so it's going to look a little different from your Danish-inspired Stanwell, from your Meerschaum. This is going to be, this is a little bit of a flamboyant pipe, you know.
It's a me! It's a Costello!
It's a Costello, man.
It's a Costello! Boppity-boppity!
Costello!
Our apologies to our Italian listeners. Extremely Italian.
It's very Italian. Yeah. I love Costellos because they just exude class. You know, this is the kind of pipe you'll find on the streets of Miami, right? And they really are excellent. Now, they come in a variety of sizes and grades, just like any other pipe. And so you can buy some Costellos for, you know, the smaller varieties that, you know, maybe you're not quite as large. You know, you can get some of those for, you know, around $300 or $400. I've budgeted us a decent amount for this pipe, closer to 600 here, 570. And that's going to get you into a really nicely sized, higher grade Costello Sea Rock briar. And so this is not a pipe you're probably going to put in your car. It's probably not a pipe you're going to truck around with in your toolbox or, you know, while you're working, and certainly while you're working in the yard. This is going to be that special pipe that you sit on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe enjoy a glass of wine or, you know, your favorite coffee while reading a book. This is a pipe, if you have a special event to go out to, you're going to take with you and really be proud to show off. Costellos are great. Even though they're fancy, you know, they have that panache to them. They're also just very versatile, though. We're not talking about a pipe with a crazy green stem or a, you know, any kind of like weirdness that's going to, you know, knock you, be a show-stopping type of pipe. You could certainly buy one of those, you know, for this type of range. But this is a pipe that's just, it exudes elegance and class.
Yeah.
And so it's something that I think will kind of scratch that itch of all pipe smokers to just, you know, have something that's a little cut above. Generally, Costellos too, particularly at this price point, the above $500 Sea Rock price point, you're going to have a more generously sized chamber. So this is going to be a larger pipe. And then also the grade will be a little higher. So you'll have a very impressive craggy rustication on this pipe.
The shapes on those are really interesting too. Just with it's almost like a kind of like a top heaviness to them, so to speak. Which is really, it's unique. And I think it does kind of, like you say, kind of add to that sense of, I don't know, like an old grandfather pipe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, if a pipe could exude like age and wisdom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you get that from some of these. It's a beauty.
Yeah.
I really love that you structured this collection this way.
I put a lot of thought into this.
No, yeah. I had no clue you were going to, because I feel like the temptation would be to go for five different pipes that are all kind of in that mid-range, kind of like you spend a little bit more money here, you spend a little bit more money there, as opposed to really kind of making sure that you have like this plethora of options. But one really solid pipe. And then they're all solid pipes, but one like really go big or go home.
It's an heirloom piece. I do think that it's just one of those things as pipe smokers, as much as we love our, you know, some of our favorite pipes as pipe smokers wind up being $50 basket pipes that we picked up off the used rack or whatever. You know, I mean, one of my best smokers is a, you know, really, really beat up Kamoy that I think I ran over with the lawnmower, you know, and it's from the early 80s and it smokes great. And it just tastes like Orlick Golden Sliced and, you know, all that. But, you know, as pipe smokers, I think there is part of us that just, you know, that wants that piece that says, okay, I'm a real pipe smoker now. Like, I've kind of arrived. And so I've got my Meerschaum for my tasting pipe. I've got a beautiful everyday pipe that's versatile. I can, you know, take it to work. I can, you know, smoke it on the back porch, smoke it in my car. I've got a knock-around pipe that is great for the garage, the fishing trip, that kind of thing. I've got a pocket pipe for those times when I don't have a lot of time and I'm kind of, you know, in a pinch, but a smoke would be very meaningful for me. And then I've got that showpiece that kind of the pride of the collection. So we try to touch all the bases.
Well structured, man. I like it. You know, I think about my pipe collection. I've got like over the years that's just kind of, you know, amassed, and how there's, it's such a range. Like I've got some of the, just like you say, some of like the cheapest old beat up pipes, but then there's like these extremely beautiful works of art.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, this pipe that's actually sitting in front of me right now, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't, it's not necessarily relevant to the topic, but I kind of want to address this since we're about
You should. It's a gorgeous piece.
Yeah. So this is actually, this was a gift from Mark VV for a couple of years ago, or maybe about a year or so ago for Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. It has become my go-to pipe. Like
as it should.
And I the mean, thing is though,
yeah,
because it's funny because like you said, like this actually, you know, this it was like a special occasions type pipe. I would bust it out. But because of like the shape and size, can you describe this in a much more official capacity than I can?
Well, this is an Ardor. We're looking at an Ardor, which if you know anything about Ardors, this is a very nice pipe. Mark had good things to think about you the day he sent you this pipe.
Definitely, man. Yeah.
And it's a rusticated finish. I can't remember the line of pipe. I think it might be called the Urano. I can't remember, but it's got this, it's a fine rustication that almost looks like sandpaper or like a peccary finish. It's just a real kind of a little speckled rustication. And so it's not a deep, deep sandblast. It's not a gnarly, you know, rustication. It's just a very fine, refined rustication that is incredibly attractive. And I think the thing that sets that pipe apart particularly is that emerald green stem.
Yeah, man.
It's just beautiful. And going with the sterling silver, you know, military mount, it's a gorgeous piece.
It looks like it's got a little leprechaun hat on it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
it kind of
does.
The way that the stem is, it kind of goes into the pipe. But anyway, since we're talking about kind of like nicer pipes, you know, and I've got one sitting right here, I thought I'd give a shout out to Mark VV who hooked me up with this one, and I will be enjoying this later today.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, man. Well, that's one of the great things about this surprise series to some extent. And I know exactly now what I'm going to call this episode, because I'm going to use the exact same terminology from before, getting started with $1,000, but then I'm going to put a dot, dot, dot. Wait, what? And with like a, like exclamation and question mark.
Getting your pipe collection started Miami style.
There it is right there. And I think we got you set up. And hey, if you so happen, let's just say, I'm going to put this out there. If you're a listener who happened to have, like when John David was going down all of these, if you've got one of all five of these in your collection, congratulations, you're a winner. Send in a picture to us and we will be retweeting that out to give you a shout out for your collection as well. Now, speaking of which, man, it's always great to engage with our listeners on social media. And that's exactly what the good friends at Missouri Meerschaum are wanting to do right now with Cobb Tuesday.
Cobb Tuesdays every week for the next several weeks. They invite you to their Facebook page, the Missouri Meerschaum Facebook page. They're going to post a trivia question that they would love for you to participate in. And they're going to pick winners for these questions the following day. And these winners will get credit at the Missouri Meerschaum store. And so check that out. Go to Missouri Meerschaum's Facebook page. It's easy to find if you're a member of Facebook. Also, be sure to follow them on all social media mediums. And if you ever interact with them, be sure to tell them that we sent you there.
Now, we love the folks at Missouri Meerschaum and we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Quick
Quest Joe!
Ow!
All right, man. Quickfire questions coming in from the Jedi Master of the Country Squire Radio World, Pastor Joda. He says, so, my brothers, I present to you Willet Pipe Tobacco.
What?
Willet Pipe Tobacco. So here's the concept as he explains it. He says, the concept is simple. I present a list of flavor profiles and you debate whether or not it would fly as a tobacco blend. It's not necessary you dump proposed flavors on the tobacco, though it may be the casing, but if there is a way to deliver the flavor with some of the other tobacco alchemy, then that is acceptable as well.
Wow.
I realize you may find this idea quite lame, not at all, and place it directly in the trash folder. Nope. If so, no problemo. The question, of course, is, will it pipe tobacco? And no, I think this is a great concept.
Will it pipe tobacco?
Will it pipe tobacco?
Is this a flavor that could translate into pipe tobacco?
Yeah. There's a lot of this stuff that I think is like an easy yes. And there's some stuff in here that I think is going to be interesting to get your takes on.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Here we go. Maple and applewood smoked bacon.
Yeah.
That'll pipe tobacco.
Yeah, that'll pipe tobacco.
You think about like meat in general is a good like flavor profile in pipe tobacco.
I think in general, a lot of folks, of course, when they think of like a barbecue or a meat, they go towards Latakia. But anything that kind of has a savory,
buttery almost with
mapley, oaky flavor, a lot of times that leans into meats a little bit. Yeah, yeah. That'll pipe tobacco.
That'll pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Fireball candy. What is a fireball candy?
Oh, you know, the red fireballs that...
Those are Red Hots.
No, the Red Hots are the little tiny ones.
Right.
I'm talking about the balls.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, he's like talking a about jawbreaker
the,
looking
Yeah,
thing.
The jawbreaker yeah, looking yeah, yeah, fire. Okay. Yeah, and that'll pipe tobacco.
What?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just cinnamon. It's just cinnamon that's got some heat on it, you know?
Okay. All right. No, that's fair.
It's just cinnamon.
I guess he's not asking, will it be good? He's just asking, will it pipe tobacco?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay. What is a cinnamon blend that you like? What would...
We used to have a couple of them at the Squire, actually.
And, used to being the key word. No,
used to. Yeah. No, that's right. That's right. Used to. There's a great blend we had for years called Madagascar. And
I remember Madagascar. Yeah.
It was such a good tobacco, and I just cannot duplicate it right now.
Yeah.
I've tried multiple times, and it just ain't happening anytime soon. So.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yep.
All right, so Fireball Candy, surprisingly, will pipe tobacco.
Will pipe tobacco.
Juniper Forward Gin.
No. I don't think so. I think this is one of those, and this is coming from a gin lover, but yeah, I don't think so. It's kind of like those, did I say this? It's kind of like the Panama Jack tobaccos that we had that like tried really hard to make like a piña colada.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and at the end of the day, it just kind of, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it didn't taste like a piña colada, you know, like I don't know.
You know, if we ever do a Cancun series, we should stay at the Panama Jack Resort and drink some Puncher's Chance and just go like do nothing but like hamster cage tobacco.
If I go to a Cancun, I'm not going with you. I'm going with my wife. Me and my wife are going. I might.
Well, don't take her to Panama Jack.
I'm not. Yeah, I was about to say I'm not going to Panama. But man, you can forget that.
Oh man. All right. No, I hear you, man. I mean, like this.
We're gonna
this
go down there
one...
with two kids, and we're gonna come back with three kids.
This is the one that I was actually kind of curious about because I know that you're a gin lover.
Yeah.
But to me, the concept of like a gin tobacco does not seem good.
Yeah, I'm against it. Yeah.
All right. So it will not pipe tobacco.
Mm-mm.
Muscadine.
Okay, I'd be interested to know if folks from other parts of the country know what a muscadine is.
I think so.
We
export that.
Well,
I feel like a
muscadine is like a country grape. This is a wild kind of grape that when you bite into it, it has it's got a wine flavor. It's got like a port wine flavor when you bite into a muscadine. It's very juicy and rich and
but at the same time,
oily.
Everything doesn't taste or seem the way that you would expect a grape to taste. And even like
it's a different animal.
Muscadine wine is like a completely different series of wine. Oh, very sweet.
Very, very sweet.
But like I would say muscadine jelly is fantastic, you know, like especially like you know,
I love muscadines. Oh, yeah. I really, really love
it. I put that out there just because like I think we export like muscadine like jam in particular,
right?
Like, especially in kind of more of like a high-end market.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that people like when they hear grape, what they think of if they're not familiar with muscadines.
It's
not
just
what it is.
I guess it the closest thing aesthetically you can figure out that you could compare the looks of it to would be probably a grape.
Yeah.
But the experience of eating one is just different.
Different.
I love a muscadine. I really, really, really love a muscadine.
But will it pipe tobacco?
It will. I think muscadine will pipe tobacco.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw this one right back at you, John David Cole of the Country Squire in Jackson, Mississippi. Why haven't you made a muscadine pipe tobacco?
I don't know. I mean, is it because it's too close to a raisin? I don't know.
It's not accurate.
It's not. Yeah, I don't know. That would be a challenge. Muscadine is, we talked in a recent episode about my love for Mississippi State, just because we brought up football, and that was kind of a funny quick fire question. But at Mississippi State, it's a land grant college, which means there's a big agriculture program. There's a big dairy sciences program. And, you know, they'd have the modern, most modern research into farming techniques and how to care for animals and all this stuff. But part of what they do in their dairy science program is make ice cream. At college, if you went into the bakery there on campus, you could always have freshly made Mississippi State ice cream.
What?
And it is just something we got used to being at a land grant school. All land grant. If you go to a land grant school, you just get this perk, right? It's just like you're going to have fresh cheese. You're going to have fresh ice cream.
You're not going to have an education, but yeah, absolutely.
Right. Won't be able to read, but like, man, you're tasting cheese and milk and ice cream. It's all going to be really good.
Mississippi State for the longest time gave all their alums those giant balls of cheddar.
Eat'em cheese balls. Yeah. It's a Dutch style.
They don't still do that, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Do you
get
them?
It's not an alum. You have to buy it. It's not like a gift. Yeah. I mean, they have a cheese shop on campus where you go, and it's a cheese shop, and they make all this exquisite cheese in their dairy sciences program.
My paternal grandfather was a Mississippi State grad.
Yeah.
And I remember going over to their house when I was kids. They always had a big ball of cheese.
Always had the Edam
with
cheese.
That like red wax all around everything.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up is that my favorite ice cream that they make at Mississippi State, they still make it. It's called Muscadine Ripple.
Woo.
And it's a muscadine with a nice vanilla. And it's very, very good. I would always, almost 10 times out of 10, I would get that if I had to pick. So Muscadine Ripple ice cream. I miss that from Mississippi State.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Oh, that's good. Muscadine Ripple tobacco. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. All right. Basil.
No.
No, I'm afraid not.
No.
Peanut butter and jelly. Here's the thing about this one. And I mean, again, you're the expert here. I don't like most things that are not peanut butter and jelly trying to be peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
And yet I realize that a lot of people do like that. And so I wonder if this one actually would.
Yeah, I think you could do it. I don't think you could do it well.
Okay. When you say do it well, you mean like the flavor profile wouldn't match appropriately or nobody would like it?
I just think no one would like it.
Yeah.
I think there's almost no substitute for real peanut butter and jelly. I think you could make a blend and honestly call it peanut butter and jelly. And I think people would smoke it and they'd be like, I kind of get that. But I still don't think it would be.
Nobody would be pulling for it as like their main go-to in any kind of capacity.
So peanut butter and jelly, will it pipe tobacco? I guess.
Okay. Maybe. Hard maybe. All right. This is such a great concept, Joda. Thank you so much for this. I want to ask you, John David, I'm going to kind of throw like a little bit of an extra one in here. If you could choose a flavor to pipe tobacco that has never been piped tobaccoed before, what would that be? What's the holy grail for John David?
Dang. I don't know. I have to give that more thought, to be honest, Bo, because I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we'll toss it to the listeners. What out there do you wish existed?
If there was a pipe tobacco flavor out there that doesn't exist, like and you wish it could.
Yeah.
So
no pumpkin spice.
No, that one's out. And it's been done.
It's been done.
It's been done, well, if you're into that. And so it's good. One of my good friends, John Benelli, who lives in Jackson, he's more of a cigar smoker. He occasionally smokes a pipe. But he's like, dude, you got to come out with a fried chicken blend, man. Like, I'm telling you. We live in the deep South. People love fried chicken. There's a lot of really good fried chicken in Jackson, Mississippi. You need to come out with a fried chicken pipe tobacco. And I'm just like, John, I love you, but you're an idiot.
If I might offer up a suggestion to John, what he might want to try to do is have second breakfast with it. Because chicken and waffles is fantastic.
That's true. That maple flavor in second breakfast is pretty solid.
I think that you have a fried chicken meal. I bet second breakfast would hit beautifully after that. I'm just throwing it out there.
Getting hungry.
All right. Well, great concept there, Pastor Joda. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, send them into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man, this one's coming in from David. Listener feedback this week from David. He says, greetings and salutations, JD and Bo. I'm relatively new to listening to having discovered your podcast barely a month ago while searching the Google for information on corncob pipe customization. I've been devouring your podcast episodes exclusively during my workday. It wasn't until listening to an episode just prior to New Year's Eve that you mentioned the new year being 2017. Then I realized that I was listening to a five-year-old episode.
Oh, that's awesome. We've been doing this a while.
Yeah, facepalm. He says, I now listen to the most current episodes that's been released and then go back and continue catching up. I love the way you two interact with the others while avoiding the current events in the news. It's also refreshing that your podcast is not scrubbed of any reference to religion or being religious. It's okay to love Jesus. I just listened to this episode discussing the history of pipe cleaners. The nerd in me enjoyed it much more than I should have. I'll check out the How It's Made. You mentioned being on YouTube this evening. I look forward. I'm like, wait a minute. How It's Made. I'm sure we did. But did we do it 5 years ago? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
I look forward to being able to support the show financially, but until I'll continue to enjoy it like those free pipe cleaners in your shop. And this is from listener David. Yeah. Are the pipe cleaners still free at the
country? That's awesome. Oh, they are free if you're sitting there, but we insist on shaming you if you take one.
So just like the tamps.
Yeah, just like the tamps.
Just like the tamps.
I mean, if you ask for a pipe cleaner and you have not brought your own pipe cleaners or bought your own pipe, I will give you one, but I'm going to hand it to you in a tray that says on the side of it, we sell these.
Right. Right.
I will not hand you a pipe cleaner. I will pass you the tray that says we sell these. And then you can take one from that tray.
Yeah, well done. Well done. Well played there.
Okay. No, we're so grateful, man, that you wrote in. Glad you found us. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I mean, always, it's interesting how the way in which podcast episodes, I've referenced this before, but the technology behind how podcasts are distributed, it changed so much over the course of this series.
Golly.
Or rather, the course of the show.
The show.
And
yeah, it's amazing.
One of the things that, you know, as episodes themselves become more discoverable as opposed to like a general feed or the podcast as a whole.
Yeah.
It means that you get these situations where depending on how they're listening, someone could come in on an episode from like, you know, 6-7 years ago and not realize that we're all the way here in the future. Or I say that right now, people are listening to this in the past.
Yeah.
Time travel. Anyway, it's wild to think about how people kind of engage with the show and kind of at what point they come in. But really appreciate that revelation of talking about New Year's and realizing it was
2017.
It's like pre-apocalyptic New Year's.
Gosh, 2017. Where were we in 2017? That's amazing. It's before I was married. Yeah, that's wild. Pretty wild. Yep.
Well, hey, thanks for that feedback. And if you got some listener feedback for us, you could send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, you can also follow the show as well. If you head over to @SquireRadio on Twitter, you can follow the shop @_CountrySquire. John David is @JohnDavidCole, or you can get all that information and more at countrysquireradio.com. Well, then.
I had fun.
I think we have definitely broken the bank.
Well, we built, if you've saved up.
Yeah.
And you want a complete pipe collection.
You want to do it right.
And we've done it right. We've given ourselves some variety in pieces and, you know, for every situation. And we've treated ourselves to a couple of nice pieces. And I think it's something you'll be proud of and you'll find very useful.
All right. No, I think it's good. I think I'm really curious to get feedback for this episode.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.